We greet you all in Jesus' name. We sat here this morning and I was just thinking about all of us here. And we sat here and we enjoyed what we heard. We enjoyed being here. It was a blessing. We're glad we're here. But I hope that more than that, we worship. We're here together, and we only do this once a week, more or less. And the rest of the week, we do what all we do. I'd like to talk about the purpose of life. The purpose of life. The reason you are alive. The reason you have life. The reason you're here. The reason God has sustained you up to this point. I'd like to talk about that basic reason. I want to comment also just briefly on Brother Stanley's message. You know, he talked about when you're up against something. You've got this checkbook and you can write a check. You can take care of that thing that you're up against. That, no matter how big it is. Well, I'd like to make a little note of this. Also, no matter how small it is, you can take your small things to the Lord too. You know, a debt's not paid till you pay the last dollar. Whether you owe a million or you owe one, take your small things to Him too. I appreciated the opening there, Brother Stanley. Thank you for that. I want to ask you a question. I told you that my thought this morning is, what is the purpose of life? Why are you alive? Why are you alive? Not just coincidence. You can say, well, my mother and my father, and we was conceived and we was born and all that, and that's why I'm alive. I'm talking about now when you're sitting here to this morning and you have a choice to make. What are you going to do with your life? Why are you alive? What are you going to do with it? The purpose of life. The real purpose. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter, I'd like to read a couple of verses there. First Peter chapter 1. Maybe we'll just break into the thought here that Peter's in this letter. We'll start at verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And I'd like to suggest to you this morning that the purpose of life this morning is to be holy. That entails a lot of things. We might say, well, our purpose is to glorify God. Amen. Our purpose is to honor the Lord. Yes, amen. Our purpose is to obey His commands. Amen. But all of that, if that is done in holiness, and if that is the reason you're doing it, and your purpose and your intention in life is to be holy. Now, let me explain what holy is. There's several definitions that I come up with that I think would define holiness. One is, and probably the most prominent one is, it means in the Scriptures, it means to be set apart. Be ye set apart, even as I am set apart. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. God wants us to be set apart. He doesn't want us to be like the world. He doesn't want us to be like everybody else. He wants us to be set apart for His glory. That's why we're alive this morning. That we might be set apart. That He might get the glory that He deserves. You know, it's pretty easy in life sometimes to get real busy with life and you're just doing your things. You go to work every day and you have your week and you come to church and you sing and you pray and you listen and maybe you preach and then you go home. That's not wrong. Nothing wrong with all that. But my focus this morning and my thought this morning and my burden this morning is that we would get a hold of this thing. We're to be holy. We're to be set apart. We're different. We're different. God wants us to be different. We're different than the world. We're even different than we naturally would be. And I'll talk about that in a bit. Our natural tendency, our carnal nature that we had or have is one that's it's just looking after me and my ways and what I want. God wants us to set ourselves apart from that and look after what He wants and be who He wants us to be. No questions asked. I'd like to suggest that I've told some young men this. I said, I want you to, when you walk away from a conversation, to those boys you walked away from, say, there's something different about him. And that's what I'd like all of us to do. When you walk away from the store, from the grocery store, from where you ever walk away from, whatever you might be doing, that they would, if they would analyze the situation, they would say, something different about them. There's something different. Something different. Not just in the way you look. Not just in the way you dress. In that, I will confirm, I will suggest to you that all should be different. That also should be different. But I'm talking about a spirit. I'm talking about what they walk, what they think when you walk away from them. One of the definitions of holiness, of holy, is to be set apart. You're different. Not just to be different, but because there's a difference in you. Back in the Old Testament, in Exodus, in verse 28, chapter 20, verse 36, you can go there if you'd like, but it just says, he's talking about the things that the priest should wear, the things that the priest should have, and one of those things was, he said, make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it, like the engravings of an insignia, holiness to the Lord. Holiness to the Lord. That was what the priest was supposed to wear. He was supposed to do that because God had him set apart. Set him apart. He was to do this. In First Chronicles, he says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In the beauty of holiness. The beauty of being set apart. The beauty of being somebody different. The beauty of being somebody dedicated, consecrated, concentrating on Him. That's what God wants us to do for Him. That we take our lives, take our attitudes, take our everything about us and say, I am different and be different. I am set apart for the glory of the Lord. That's my calling. I'm not out here to primarily, that's my calling, that I might be a holiness to the Lord. There's another definition I like also. And that is to be pure and clean. Pure. Just like if I was to have a cup of water here and it was sitting here and it's full of water. Pure water. It's all water in there. It's only water in there. That in my heart, it's only holiness. It's only righteousness. In my heart, I'm clean, I'm pure. I don't have sin hanging about in the edges or any even filling the cup. But I have recognized what my calling is, and I am pure. I don't have little things hanging about my life that I know is not quite right. I know I should change. Those are things you should look at. But I'm promoting. I'm not promoting a perfection gospel. I am saying, though, that our life, as we walk through life, we can be clean, we can be pure. Are we all? No. Am I? No. But that's my heart. That's where I want to go. That's who I want to be. I want to be so clean and so pure, you can look at me, and if you could see through me, you could see right straight through me. Are you holy? Am I holy? That's what God wants. That's the purpose of our life. And there's another one, and it's somewhat the same as, in one sense. The third definition I like is to be like something, similar to. And like I said, there's a lot of similarities here. But while God is absolutely pure and He's absolutely holy and all that, I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Jesus. And you know, sometimes we can view Him as this, well, He was the Son of God. I mean, come on. I mean, He would be perfect. I know that. Well, I'd like to suggest to you too, I think that Jesus, and the writer of the Hebrews says this, he said He was tempted in all points like as we. He was tempted. There it was. He had the opportunity. He could have. And we look at those as pretty big things. I'm talking about, like we said earlier about Brother Stanley's message, even in the little things. Where is my heart and life? How do I see it? Do I look at those little things and say, oh, that's just a little thing? That's not the way God looks at it. He sees everything. The little things, the big things. To be like Him, to be similar to Him. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. I'd like to present to you and give to you and bring to your minds who God is in all His holiness. We'll someday stand before Him, and someday He's going to make a judgment. Every single one of us. I say this a lot, but I don't know how it's going to be. But at some point, in some way, it's going to be, He's going to look at you, and He's going to make a determination. And the gavel's going to fall. And He's going to be righteous in all His ways, in all His judgments, in all everything He determines, everything He has seen, everything you know He knows, everything about your life. And He's going to make a judgment, and the gavel's going to fall, and there's nothing you can do after that. But today, you have the opportunity to change all that. You have the opportunity to make yourself holy. You have the opportunity to be assured and with confidence you can leave this life. And when the gavel falls, you have no fears. But it's going to take a determination and a decision today. And I dare say every day, maybe every minute of the day. Maybe not quite that. We don't just determine every day, but we do have a mindset. We have a direction. We have a decision we have made that we're going to be this way or that way. Many of us have made the decision. Yes, I'm willing to follow Christ. I'm willing to die for Him. I'm willing to give my life for Him. Everything about my life is going to be for Him. That's a good thing. But we all know some of us have different temptations than others. Some of us, there's a lot, we all have a lot, in some ways, a lot the same temptation. I think Brother Jeremy prayed here. He said that we would deal with pride in life. I remember how he said it exactly. That we would not be proud. The purpose is, analyze your life. Look at who you are. And am I holy before God? Have I determined that is it my heart to the depth of my soul? I have said I'm willing to follow Christ. I accept Him into my life. And I'll do whatever He says. I'll go wherever He sends. And I'll be whoever He wants me to be. And I'll live for Him and I'll die for Him. For Him to be holy. To be righteous altogether. No sin. No uncleanness. None of that. Those things that you have to, that you feel a little bad about sometimes. That all goes. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee? Glorious in holiness. This is God. Glorious in holiness. We said we'd follow Him all the way to the end. We're following a glorious God. We're following a holy God. And He says to us, because I have given my life to you, because I have given everything I can do for you, you can't do it, but I can. I want you to do everything for me. Make your life a holy life. This is God. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Now Hebrews tells us, he says this. The writer says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. We must believe and we must diligently seek Him. Not half-heartedly. Not when I have time, I'm going to spend a little time with Him. But that our life would be, the basis of it is all about Him. Now I realize that we could ask ourselves, practically, Brother Mark, what's that mean? Practically. And that's a good question. And I'm not going to get into that too much, but I will say this. That I think we do well to consider, even though we have fallen into a pattern, we have a general way of doing things. Whether it be the way we do church, the way we come here together, the way we sit, and the way we have our services and the order and all that. I'm not saying to challenge that. I'm not saying it should be changed. But I'm just saying from those kinds of things, even down to the way we entertain ourselves, our recreation. And again, I'm not going to say what I think is good or bad, but I am going to say that I think it's good for us to consider when we do our recreation, when we do our entertainment, when we are doing those things we like to do, and we're entertaining ourselves, be good to consider, you know, is this promoting holiness? Well, you might say, well, maybe not entirely, but what's wrong with it? Well, I'm going to go back to the first question. I think that's the main question. Is this promoting holiness? Why do I enjoy this? Why am I doing this? Why do I do the things I do? Why don't I do other things? Ask yourself, does it promote holiness? Does it set me apart? Am I set apart? Am I doing these things because I am set apart? Because I have made a decision, I'm going to follow Christ. Excuse me. Ask ourselves the question, am I fulfilling my purpose in life? Hebrews says also, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Now I'm going to go to Romans chapter 7. He says, for I know that in me, this is Paul talking, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, and how to perform that which is good I find not. That's what Paul said. I'm going to suggest to you that he's right. In himself, he doesn't find any good thing, and he is... how to perform that which is good, I find not. Excuse me. So, God says, follow peace with all men and holiness. He says, be ye holy like I am holy, as I am holy, for I am holy. So we see the expectation God has of us. And we see that if indeed part of the meaning of pure of holiness is purity, his purity calls our sinful attachments into question. When I say sinful attachments, what I mean is those little things hanging on the edges. Those little things we may know is not quite right, just kind of seem to, just is always there, whether it's pride or whatever it is. You know, there's something not quite right. You know, you have to deal with those things. Those kinds of things. He says, so when those kind of things, when we look at ourselves and say, am I pure? Well, being honest with yourself, maybe there's something that you could say, actually, I know I'm not. There are some things I need to work on, some things I need to change. For us to remember that God says, be ye holy, for I am holy, is to help us also to understand that he has an expectation and he's not asking us to do anything impossible. He said, I want you to be set apart. I want you to be pure. I want you to be clean. I want you to portray my character. That's what God wants from us. Let me suggest this to you. This is what I wrote down. To come casually before him with the hearts grasping tightly to the sins we cherish, or to come lightly as though they are no big deal, might be like throwing ourselves into the fire with the expectation we will not perish. Let me repeat that. To come casually with our hearts grasping tightly to the sins we cherish. In other words, we have some sin in our life. We know it's not right. And we may even not quite call it sin. It's just a little problem. But we're holding on to that. We're just not quite willing to let that go. Or to come lightly as though they're no big deal. Might be like throwing ourselves into a roaring fire with the expectation we will not perish. Give that some consideration. If that's possibly true, how can we then, sinful and broken human beings, hope to come into the presence of a holy God and survive the experience? Peter says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. He says, sorry. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought into you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you, as you pray, as you consider, as you think, as you, Jesus Christ has revealed to you in whatever way he might be revealed. He said, hope to the end. He said, take your mind captive. Don't let your mind just go wherever it might want to go. Your mind might go places that you know it's not right to go. Stop that. That's your choice. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. He goes on and says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lesson of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, again, so be ye holy in all manner of life. King James says, manner of conversation. In all your ways of life. I wrote down here a question. Shouldn't the enjoyment of life enjoyment of life or enjoyments in life be secondary to the purposeful life of godliness? Shouldn't the enjoyment of life be secondary to the purposeful life of godliness? Obviously, the answer to that question is yes. We think about the holiness of God. We think about who God is. I told you I'd talk about that a bit. You remember back there when the children of Israel gathered around and he told them, he said, "Don't touch this mountain. Don't even come close to it. Keep yourselves away from it. Because I am holy. I'm going to meet with Moses up here on the top of it." And Moses went up. And there, I think the scriptures say something about there's lightnings and thunderings and the mountain shook. I wonder what it would be like to do that, to see that. To see that where there is, we know we're going to, God's going to show himself somewhere. And he says, stay away from that mountain. And we go out there and he comes down on that mountain and it shakes and it's fire and it's lightning and it's just, They were scared. And they were people just like you and I. We're not any braver than they would have been, or than they were. They got scared. They were fearful. This is the God that says, be ye holy. This is the God that says, be ye holy. Set apart. Righteous. Pure. So, when I say all these things, I told you, and I believe it, we have a choice. We each would have a choice to make. What am I going to do? Am I going to be holy? Am I going to set myself apart? Am I going to be different because God is different? Because I'm going to be who God wants me to be and like God? What he wants to be? Not like my flesh and not like the world. I have the choice to make. And I know what it's like. Sometimes that choice is easier than others. Sometimes I've failed to make the right choice. I have done things I shouldn't have done. Said things I shouldn't have said. I have not been holy. I have not set myself apart from my carnal nature. I have not done that. I have not set myself apart from the ways of the world. I have not done that. There have been times I have failed in that. I have. But there's a way that we can grow in being able to do that. And that's what I'd like to talk about. The work of the Holy Spirit in my life and in your life. So, how do I know that the Holy Spirit is working in my life? How do you know that? Well, I think I have several ways here. But one of those ways is, we will be focused on the Word of God. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He would help us to remember the things when we're called upon, when we need to remember things, when we need to say things. Jesus said, I'll send the Spirit. And I'll help you remember. We'll be focused on the Word of God. And he said, that Spirit of truth maybe I should turn to John. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He also says that I don't see it written down here, but the... what he also says one place is that When I'm going, he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit shall, I don't remember what the King James word is, it shall point to Jesus, to point to me. It shall point to me. That Holy Spirit shall point to me. Maybe that's farther on down here in my things I have. But one way to tell, am I walking in the Spirit? Am I hearing the voice of God? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to me? Is when I value the Word of God right here. When I take this and say, this is my guide. Nothing else but this. This Bible. These books have been, chapters have been put together. I know that the Holy Spirit is working in me when I am looking at this, reading this, following this, doing this, what the Bible says. I can know that I am walking with God. I can know that the Spirit is me. That's part of the way I can know that as I walk in the Spirit, that I will be able to be set apart. How many times I've seen it happen? I can talk to people and I can tell them, well, I think this, this, and this. But when you put the Scripture in there, it's final. That settles it. We believe that. And that's why it's so important sometimes to use the Scriptures when you're talking to people or whatever. Use the Scriptures and they are final. They can't argue with that. We will be focused on the Word of God when we have the Holy Spirit in us. There's another thing that will happen, I think, when we're walking with God, when the Holy Spirit is in us. When we are walking towards holiness. When we're trying to be holy like God is holy. He says, this is my second point here. We will feel deep, genuine, abiding, deep, genuine, abiding conviction of sin. A deep, genuine, abiding conviction of sin. He says, Jesus said one place in John 16, he says that he talked about his going away so that the Comforter would come to his disciples. And he says, he promises when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. We'll feel a deep, confiding, deep, genuine, abiding conviction of sin. When the Holy Spirit is working in us. He says in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. But the godly sorrow works life. When we have, the Holy Spirit is working in us, and we're letting that work us to be, make us holy, we have a deep, abiding conviction of sin. Number three, the miracle of regeneration will result in conversions. The miracle of regeneration, the miracle of born again, will result in conversions. It's kind of saying the same thing. It's just simply that there will be times, there will be places, there will be people, you will, if you're not yet, become born again when you know you're walking and when the Holy Spirit is working in your life. Prophecy back there in Ezekiel, he said, I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and all your idols I will cleanse you, and a new heart I will also will I give you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. That is what's going to make us holy. And Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he said, there's going to be a change. The wind blows where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell when it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There is a change. Something happens. Something happens in your heart and in your life when you are born again, when the Spirit of God is working in your life. Something happens. There's a difference. And I'm going to go back to the second one. There's also that deep, confiding, genuine conviction of sin. Ephesians says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, hath quickened us together. I'm skipping a bunch of words there. Hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. It's by grace through faith. But it's through faith I must believe. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Number four. And this is, maybe we don't have this problem, maybe we do. But it's a point I think that's worthy of making. And that is, we'll fix our eyes on Jesus, not on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a powerful presence. It's the Spirit of God coming into our life. But we don't, the Holy Spirit does not point to Himself. He points to Jesus. He points to Jesus. John 16 says, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but He shall glorify Me. This is number six, or number five. We will be sensitive to His commands and promises. We'll be sensitive. You know, back there in Matthew 28, He says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto Me in heaven and earth. That's a promise. We'll be sensitive to His commands and promises. That's a promise. Sensitive to that. So He says, all power is given unto Me. Okay, so I can have all power. Okay, well, let's see what He says, what the command. That's a promise. The command is, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the command. There's another command, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. And the promise is, after that, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is the reality of the Holy Spirit working in our life, that we can be holy, that we can be who God wants us to be. That's the purpose of life. Clearly in the book of the Acts, there in chapter 2, it's when that the Holy Spirit came and rested on them. Clearly God sent the Holy Spirit. There was a clear sign there. That Spirit is still here with us today. And that Spirit is what gives us grace. So that Spirit is what gives us power to live a holy life. And he said, it goes on there in chapter 2, Acts chapter 2. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Spirit. This is necessary. It's part of God's plan for us to live a holy life. There's some things that also will deter or distract us from living a holy life. I want to mention a couple of those things. There's one thing you can do to deter you from living a holy life. Make no absolutes. Make no absolutes. In other words, everything's relative. Relativism, I think they call it. Is everything relative? I mean, in other words, relative is, well, compared to this, it's better than this. Or compared to this, it's this way. There's no absolutes. It's just all compared.